Welcome to Tales from the Periphery, Episode 8, with me, your host, Mike Whittaker. This episode, I have a guest who is Tom Lovewell from the UK Battletech community. If you are based in or around Gloucester, then you probably want to pay attention to this episode if you've not found yourselves a Battletech community to hang out with, because Tom has you back. Other than that, what have we got? I finally finished In the Shadow of the Dragon, Craig Reed's novel that we were talking about last episode. And I have to say, dear Lord, it's a cracker. If you like political intrigue wrapped around with lots of action, lots of fun characters, and a really rattlingly good yarn, I can strongly recommend it. It is definitely one of the better recent Battletech novels and is up there with Wolves on the Border and more so Heir to the Dragon in the way it digs into Draconis Combine politics. Thoroughly recommended. Go out and buy yourself a copy. It's well worth it. As the saying goes, I have a guest. And this time it is UK Battletecher Tom Lovewell. Welcome aboard. How are you? It's been a while. I think we last saw each other at the UK Nationals, or did we bump into each? If we bumped into each other at UKGE, I may well not remember because I was a bit stressed.
Well, we definitely met at UK Nationals because I said hi several times, and then we played Encounters.
We did
with Andy and my son on the Sunday. I was at UK Games Expo. I did come to the stand. Alas. At 11 minutes past 9 on the Friday, and thus all the good stuff was gone.
Imagine my disappointment at 11 minutes past 9 on the Sunday.
But this was on the Friday. I mean, and the reason why it was 11 minutes past, my wife has mobility issues, so was in a scooter, and was like, well, just let the crowd pass, you know, because that's how caring I am. Instead, I should have just gone, right, we love you very much, but me and Brandon, we want to go and get the good stuff. See you in 15. But we were caring, and we went, no, we'll stay with you. We'll go in together. It'll be fine. And you know those three words, it'll be fine. It means no, it won't.
No, it won't. No. I mean, it was the cupboard was very bare on Sunday, although I did come away with, I think, 6 battle mats.
Well, I walked away with one, and part of the reason is because I am waiting for 2 already, but that's kind of preempting one of your questions.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Right, so the traditional question for first-time guests is the one of how did you get into gaming in general and Battletech in particular? Now, you've already warned me this is going to be a non-trivial exercise, so...
It is going to be non-trivial, but Battletech in particular and gaming, 30 years ago when I was at high school, started to get into gaming. I've got a brother who's 2 years younger. We both sort of fell into tabletop gaming via HeroQuest and then discovered, well, I got Space Marine, so Epic 40K, and then we picked up 40K as well. But I picked up a book from the school library called Blood Name.
Ooh.
And then found that there was another one, which was Way of the Clans, which was also in the school library. And didn't have the third one, did they? So
you still had a more enlightened school than mine did.
Yeah, well, it had a sci-fi section and some horror bits as well. And so I did read... Some of my reading habits were forged back then. That's when I first encountered Battletech. And started playing miniatures games, as I said, with Games Workshop. Went to uni, continued to play miniature games, but also found a small game called Mech Warrior 3. So, merrily stomping around, blowing the snot out of things in various classes of mechs for that. When leaving uni for the first time, played a little bit of the Inquisitor, just got the models, went to do a PhD at the University of Sheffield. And this is when the hobby went from, I'm just doing 40K, and I got bit by, there are other game systems. So I started playing Warhammer, now it'd be called Warhammer Old World. So collected some dwarves for that. So I then had some Imperial Guard from 40K and some Warhammer Dwarves. Then started playing War Machine. And so I've got some Kador for them. And I then picked up a few other things. So partway through my PhD, I started helping someone called Gavin Moorcroft with developing a new tabletop miniatures game called Relics. And so whilst doing a PhD, I sort of, in my spare time, helped do that. Kind of helped me blow off some steam by doing something very different to science. And I sort of suggested some ideas for units and things, and we did a lot of playtesting as well. And so a lot of the first edition rulebook and 1.5 rulebook, I helped generate things for it, but also as best possible do proofreading and things. Version
now, those of us who haven't run across Relics, do you want to explain?
So Relics started off, when I first saw it, there were three types of units for one faction and three for another, and it got first of all referred to as Stitchpunk. Because you had the Britannans, where the background was the human race was expanding and expanding on this fantasy world, and then there came a great cataclysm caused by the Vaetir, which were effectively fairies, but kind of your Guillermo del Toro Hellboy type fairies, these kind of not nice elf kind of fantasy type things. And they wanted to stop the humans, so cast a spell. The spell didn't go quite so well, and most of the humans died, not all of them. Those that survived basically went, right, we're going to expand our empire again with the remnants we have, which are all these semi-trapped souls. We're going to put them into puppets. So you have these sort of colonial-era British troops, but made from stitched puppets, and they are massively characterful models. And
they are quite delightful. It put an appearance at our club in 2015, 2016?
Yeah, that's
then?
My fault.
You know John Austin then, as a guess.
Yes, briefly, because it would have been a little bit beforehand, because I was living in Peterborough 2012 to 2014 sort of time.
We must have run into each other.
We would have done. My son was born in Peterborough. So small world.
But John, certainly John, and possibly you as well, brought it to our club. Mm-hmm. And I think we had a whale of it. And then it sadly sort of disappeared, didn't it?
That was because Gavin was struggling with things and sold it onto TT Combat. So TT Combat got it in 2017, 18, I think, and were just trying to work out what to do with it, and COVID hit and went, we're just going to put this on the back burner. And they've only started to re-release the metals. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem was Gavin, to my view, Gavin went from version 1 to version 2, wanted to progress the storyline, which was a good idea. I think some of the rules changed. One of the nice bits, to my mind, about Relics was people who are crap at rolling dice like me and hitting a number, I was awesome at Relics because the mechanic was rolling doubles. So a chuffer like myself who rolls double ones and double twos regularly, I could kick ass in Relics because you powered up your units by having more dice to roll anyway. But a double one or a double two, you could still hit something. And that was fantastic. and I think the mechanics were starting to change from version 2. But at that point, I was no longer a PhD student with more time. I was a postdoc with a family, didn't have as much time, and I wasn't as heavily involved in version 2 as well. So apologies if there's a bit of bias there. So you can see part of my gaming was involved with that, and over time as well. So when I was in Peterborough, I went to the Rift, good little shop. Trevor's still running it.
He is indeed.
And used to play Dystopian Wars there.
He's even started getting Battletech stuff in.
Ooh. But yes, I was playing War Machine and he just couldn't get it in for love nor money. So I started playing Dystopian Wars and then Spartan Games went down the pan, alas. So I stopped playing Dystopian Wars.
There's a theme here.
There is a theme here. I played, went back to Sheffield, picked up some World War II stuff, so Flames of War. So played second edition Flames of War and also got into Malifaux for a time. Anyway, 2019, I moved to Gloucestershire, where I now am. And I'm just talking about miniatures games. We're going to ignore my dabbling in role-playing games and board games.
If you're anything like me, we could talk about those for about an hour.
Well, I kind of talk about for about an hour about board games on the Sheffield Board Gamers podcast fairly regularly. So I think this is, let's stick to miniatures.
But I will have a link off you. I will have a link off you for that podcast for the show notes.
Rightio. So yes, I dabble in board games quite a lot as well. And by dabbling, I was also involved in designing a couple of card games as well under Redwell Games. So, but we're getting back to the point of Battletech. 2019, yay. I moved to Gloucestershire, job in a school, and one of the guys I work with, Jim, the board gaming activity club, well, War Games and Board Games Activity Club, I kind of introduced a few more board games and we've kind of broadened the interest of who comes along. There was Kill Team happening then. It doesn't happen so much now because we don't like version 2. But this year we've been doing things like Frostgrave and Battletech. Anyway, I've sort of jumped a bit forward. Jim has been a Battletecher since the 80s. He's got sort of some of the original stuff. And he went, this is quite cool. Oh, by the way, I'm putting in a late pledge for the Clan Invasion Kickstarter.
Oh, is dear.
This the kind of thing you'd be interested in? And I went, yeah, okay. I'll just get the Invasion boxed set and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Leave it at that. It did not happen. you know, it started off at that, and since then I've collected a few more things. My son's got into it as well, so he's got a load of Innisfear stuff. Mine are mainly clan things, but I've got a small mercenary force of Innisfear things plus the odd clan mech, which I've got multiples of. So, like a timber wolf, because there's so many different ways in which you can get a timber wolf in plastic. So, yes, I got back in with the as a late pledge kind of thing from Clan Invasion, and then it's been downhill or uphill ever since.
Sounds extremely familiar. So you're running. You're connected with the group playing at Antics, I assume.
At Antics, what happened was, I think it was about a year and a half ago, they start put some sort of flyers in their shops about Pokemon and board gaming at their warehouse, which is based in Stonehouse. And I went to Antics because they stock Battletech stuff and approached them and said, you say you do board games. Do you mind if we do Battletech here as well? And they went, no, why not? And so they started doing the evenings, but I started collaborating them to kind of get a broader group for Battletech. And it's been semi-successful. Part of the difficulty is the warehouse isn't on a high street and it's a little bit out of the way. And so getting the information out there to non-Battletech players is kind of the challenge. The other big difficulty was the room we used to play in, that part of the area that Antics had access to, the owner of the unit went, someone else wants it and you're not really using it, so they're getting it. So we got moved into a smaller room. And so whereas before we had enough space to do 3 foot by 3 foot tables for Alpha Strike, we're now limited to less tables and more restricted times because they still do Pokemon, which is a bit more popular. Mm-hmm. And so everything has to be on hex maps now because of space limitations.
Shame.
Also, unfortunately, it's upstairs. And so there's a gentleman in Gloucester who contacted me and said, I hear you are involved in running local Battletech games. And I went, yes. And he said, he's at Antics Warehouse. He said, oh, how easy is it to get to? I'm disabled. And it was like, alas, there be stairs and there is nothing we can do about it. So I game there. So I run sessions. It's going to be about once a month on a Saturday, but also every Wednesday evening at Kobold's Cave in Stroud, there's also Battletech going on, except for the first Wednesday of a month when they are doing a lot more role-playing. So there's
Why
about
do I not
three
have that in the directory?
Because there someone else is more involved in running it, and I haven't told you.
Right, we'll fix that.
we will fix that.
That will appear in the directory when this episode goes up. I promise.
That will fix that. That's the other reason for mentioning it, is so that you know.
Indeed. Right. Let's. I want to talk to you a bit later on about the whole aspect of community building and getting people into the game, because clearly you've been doing quite a bit of that. But I think it's time for the time-honoured quickfire round.
Okay.
Okay, so classic or Alpha Strike?
Both.
And why?
because I regularly play both. But as an example, classic is great for the granularity if you've got a few small things. But I like the I'm choosing this weapon. I like the fact that as a clan player, there are advantages such as the short range of some clan things is longer than the short range of some inner sphere. And so there's the differences and there's that tactical element of I've got you in an optimal range for me, but not for you. Brilliant.
Yeah.
But you're limited to the number of things on the table. Where, and I also like to see a good amount of things on the table. So you've got to be positively mental to do two stars of clan mechs and about company plus of Innisphere mechs all on a table for classic and go, right, we'll be finished before tea.
This is why both of us, this is why we doubt the sanity of several of my previous guests, I think.
But you can do that without.
Oh, you can do it.
So what I've started over the summer with my son is we're kind of doing a quasi map campaign, but it's multiple maps where we're doing clan invasion. And he's gone and put together several companies worth and gone, right, this is the first planet. This is wave one. And I've put together about three clusters of clan mechs. Here's the key part, though. Whilst in wave one, he just gets intro tech and a few others, he gets a whole brand new set of mechs when I go to wave two and the next planet, plus any that he manages to get off planet as a we're retreating, mm-hmm. we're overrun. And so he's going to replenish and replenish and replenish, whereas any of my mechs that he scrags are completely gone for the entire campaign. And we've done a few games where we've done classic because it's a few of my mechs against a lance or so of his. But the next game is going to be literally a company plus of his mechs versus two stars of mine. And we've gone, we do not want to be grumbled by mum/my wife. So therefore, it's Alpha Strike, so it gets finished in a day.
Right. And mum can have the kitchen table back.
Dining room table.
Absolutely. That sounds brilliant. One of the things you've reminded me that I want to do at some point, and I'll probably get you and possibly Brandon back for that, and probably maybe have a multi-handed chat, is I'd like to do talk about campaigns, because that's something that's quite near and dear to my heart as well. Mm-hmm. And I know the likes of Stuart are quite fond of it, so we will probably come and delve deeper into that kind of thing on a later episode.
Yep.
Okay, next up, toys on the table, painted or not?
Don't have to be. And I'd be the biggest hypocrite the number of times I've played with pure plastic, but most of my mechs are painted, and most of Brandon's mechs are painted. I think there's about half a dozen or so that are nude/undercoated. I'm ignoring the box that Brandon got a couple of weeks ago. He's not had time for that. But
he's excused.
So he's excused. But I have rocked Team Grey or Team Undercoat so many times in the past that I'd be the world's greatest hypocrite to say it's got to be painted. They are nicer painted, but I'm a poor painter anyway, and I'm not quick. So I don't care as long as there's minis on the table, because I'm a gamer first and I'm a painter eighth.
Sounds like me. Okay, favourite era?
I'm enjoying Ill Clan, but I think it's got to be kind of Clan Invasion to Civil War era, because there's a lot going on there and there's so many changes in mechs, yeah, game-wise, yeah, that that's kind of that period of sort of about 20 years or so.
There is that kind of point post-Tukaid and before the Civil War where everyone sort of takes a very deep breath that is actually quite a fascinating little period, because you've got things like Operation Guerrero and things like that that are quite, yeah, fun as well.
Yeah.
Okay, favourite faction?
Grass Pigeons. I'm a Jade Falconer all the way.
Okay, Grass Pigeons, that's a new way of putting it. Any particular reason?
Blood Name.
Okay, first book you read.
It's the way I got into it. I also have read... what's the latest... I've got Without Question. Sorry.
Yes.
And, you know, after Malvina Hansen and everything else, it does make them feel fresh again. But to be fair, it's nice to have them as the most complete a-holes of the galaxy and then find some redemption. But I also like their partial winged mechs. They work so well with my kind of play style that there is an element of, I just like the way they play as well.
Mm-hmm. There's. I think one of the things I've always loved about BattleTech is that there isn't any unit that are the bad guys per se. I mean, yes, there are some units that are kind of assholes, but even so, I think every unit, every faction has its own "we're in the right" line of things, and if you can empathise with that, then you can get on with that faction.
To an extent, the Hansen Mongol doctrine was really pushing the limit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, favorite unit?
I really like the Ghostbird Lance.
Right.
So I'm going to go small. I'm going to go with Alexis and her Lance of Five, because I think that's just quite a nice, interesting concept of following a bunch of originally... recruits from another clan that have been taken by another through an appropriate trial and watch them adjust. So I kind of quite like that as the character element.
Mm-hmm. And I think I might know the answer to this one, but favourite novel?
Yeah. There's an element of Blood Name. There is an element of Without Question. I've only read three, so it's
really?
Not really...
Wow!
I've picked up bits and bobs, but... Unfortunately, when I was involved in sort of research and stuff, I read so many research papers that actually finding time to read fiction I fell out of, and I've not got back into reading an awful lot, the exception being reading stories to my son.
Right.
So I have been reading, and I've been reading books for a number of years, but, you know... 8 years ago, it was Paddington. You know.
And the very hungry caterpillar.
Well, no, that was 10 years ago. and the Harry Potter books and other things.
Yep.
And so my reading time was that, and I was trying to do everything else. And there's only so many hours in a day.
It's true. It's true. Very, very true. Okay, and the final question. How big did you go on the Kickstarter?
Not too bad to start with.
So I still to start with that worries me.
We started off with just the company level and then ordered rent, go with company level, and we quite like the neoprene mats, and Brandon wanted to use his King Crab and Nerva Maxim. I said, right, what we will do is we'll get a neoprene of one of the city maps. Fine. And then along came the late pledge manager, and I was like, ooh, I can get the grasslands map, which has only been available in conventions with tundra on the other side, and it's got some other bits, and that I can't imagine ever getting it in the UK because it's conventions only. I'll order that. Oh, look, that's a dropship. I'll get one of the dropships in as well because it was for a good cause and they looked pretty. And so I think I spent nearly as much in extra stuff as I did as an initial thing.
Yeah, I mean, I went battalion and the only overspend I had was realizing I hadn't got the Summer Set Strikers bloods.
Ah, oh yeah, we bought that as well as an extra because you couldn't get it as one of your other things, so...
Yeah, what I'm actually kicking myself as about is that when I first properly got back into Battletech, which was probably a couple of years ago now, I wasn't a Clans fan. So my Mercenaries Kickstarter pledge contains none of the Clan Lance packs, and I'm really annoyed about that in hindsight.
We've only got one Clan Lance pack, but we've got the Battlefield Objectives. Pack as well, because again, so two of the things, the dropship and the objectives, were to be able to have things to play around, to have more than a you're turning up and trying to wallop the snot out of somebody else, because
yeah,
as fun as that is, having some kind of theme to the game occasionally really helps actually change things up, give you something else to be playing for. And I've liked that from Flames of War. I've liked that from Malifaux, other games where it's not just beat someone up.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
There is beating up, but there's something else you're going for as well.
But you're beating up for a purpose.
Exactly. And it also helps with when, not with a hex map, but other terrain, by having a purpose and you're doing the setup, you can start putting a story of why everything is there. For Flames of War, we always used to kind of go, right, well, this is the farmhouse or the town or whatever. And I still use that principle when setting up for Alpha Strike with models and stuff as well.
So why is this table here? Why are we fighting over this particular piece of scenery?
Exactly. It just makes it make a lot more sense to my mind. And that's what's great about most of the hex maps is they're either in an area where it's so generic anything could happen, but it feels good. Or you've got certain bits with a good story. For example, all of the Battle of Tukiyid maps where you've got this is the landing zone, this is this part, this is that part, and there's sort of story connected, and they're really, really characterful.
Yeah, and the same with even things like the new map with the Comstar base on it.
Yep.
That's fabulous. I'm looking forward to that one. I think I managed to grab that at UKGE.
Well, I picked up one of the Tukiyid maps from UKGE because I had two on order when I and what was I was kicking myself about is one the map that I had ordered was at Games Expo, and it's like, damn it, because I've already paid the tax for buying it here, which was one of the small frustrations, because all my Kickstarters previously have been UK-based, not had to worry about tax. And then it was, oh, crumbs. These are from abroad. Whoopsie!
Ka-ching!
Uh-huh.
HMRC makes more money.
Yeah, that was a small technical boo-boo.
Yep. I was kind of resigned to it because I do quite a lot of RPG Kickstarters, some of them with physical product, which in quite a few cases have come over from the States, and you just look and go, oh, well, I sort of budgeted for that, honest.
Yeah, no, I hadn't because I haven't paid separate VAT previously on the dozen plus Kickstarters I've done. It was just, yeah, I went, there's some money for delivery, that's fine. Oh, VAT, yank.
Helped when they finally got the maths right, it has to be said.
Yeah.
Yes, right. So you're now based in Gloucester. So
I'm based in Gloucestershire, yes.
You've got
Stonehouse,
which is just
The south of Gloucester, yeah.
Right.
Just off the M5.
So you've got Antic.
Antix is a family-run chain of stores, but their warehouse is in Stonehouse. They have in Stroud, which is a smidgen to the east, and Gloucester, which is a smidgen to the north and west, have stores. But there's also a store in, I think, Bristol, Plymouth, Cardiff, and some other places. There used to be one in Sheffield, but alas, it shut down. But they stopped Apple Tech, and they don't have space in their bricks and mortar on the high street stores, but their warehouse does have space, and so we're going there.
And they do actually do a fairly decent mail order. I've picked up things from them that I've not been able to get anywhere else before now. So, right. And so you're doing regular games at regular games at Antic, regular games at, where was the other place?
So the other place is Kobold's Cave in Stroud. So Chris,
which is literally just down the road,
which is also just down the road. Yeah. Chris is also a demo team member, and him and Joss have been playing for ages. So they, at Kobold's Cave, it's all classic. At Antics, I taught the people there Alpha Strike, because we are limited to 2 hours and you can get 200 points done in 2 hours. Whereas it's always a struggle to get a good size game done with a dead cutoff of 2 hours for classic. Whereas at Kobold's Cave, there's more leeway for time. So if we tend to play between 7 and 10K, although the 10K games are more ill clan and mental and expensive, and those are struggled. Around 7-8K for Kobold's Cave of classic. And we've got a bit more time for, yes, things are nearly dead. We've got that extra half hour needed to finish the next turn and get to an end point. But it would be, sorry, guys, time's up. We're off. You need to finish a game. So Alpha Strike mainly. But if anyone does want to play classic and come along and be aware that we have a time point, that's also fine.
Yeah. So essentially, if you're anywhere in the sort of Gloucester, Cheltenham, northwest of Swindon, northeast of Bristol area,
Swindon's a bit of a trek.
Swindon's a bit of a trek. Cirencester's not.
Cirencester's accessible. Yes, Finn comes from Cirencester to play. So
how many are you typically getting for those?
So there's been a couple of times where there's been four of us at Kobold's Cave, but there are, depending on what other people are doing in availability, life, jobs, school, etc. There's about 5 different people who play at Kobold's Cave at various points. Antics have been affected by the change of rooming and partly my availability, because when the room changed, I also was at UK Games Expo and Nationals, and then other people on holidays. So since the beginning of June, because of me being away, it's not happened too frequently, but we've had kind of 6 regular people approximately. Admittedly, 3 of them are under the age of teenage.
I've met your young man.
there's definitely been 3 games going on at once, and that's been 3 games and me floating around. So if there was someone else about, could have had 4. So, and there's been some others that have come occasionally and not been able to make it.
So fundamentally, if you're listening and you are in the area, check out the directory. Get in touch with Tom. Contact details will be on the directory entries for both those games. And come along. You'll be more than welcome.
Yeah. I try to post everything onto Facebook and onto the BattleTech UK Discord as well, just so that people know what's going on.
Which does lead us to the question that I've often wondered, which is, how do we grow outside that? Because one of the problems with particularly local Facebook groups is that if you don't happen to know the local group exists, you're a bit stuffed.
Well, this is one of the things I was going to talk at the next session with Alice from Antics, who is one of the key people, really. It wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for her and her family for doing things, is if we can add some flyers to their Pokemon ones to show about BattleTech. So they share things as well. So they're trying to advertise that they do BattleTech events on their Facebook. And I'm doing a games day, which we're going to talk about in Stonehouse at the community centre. But it is. It's trying to grab people that are elsewhere. It helps having a game store where people can walk into and discover things. Unfortunately, Kobold's Cave, until recently, doesn't have a entrance on the front door. That is, however, changing. And so Morgan, who runs Kobold's Cave, is hoping once he's got a front door on a high street entrance, we'll be able to entice people in and be able to do a day where we're demoing in the center of Stroud with a door where people can walk up and go, oh, I didn't know you were here. Walk in, play something, and get bitten that way.
Mm.
And that's my hope for a bit with this community center thing as well.
I mean, it does seem that we're actually very different in that way. And like your gaming is very much focused on stores, which is almost a more American thing.
Well,
I run a club.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I do go and play at a board games club, and it's also part, but it was, there is a miniatures game club in Gloucester, but they play a lot of 40K and other things. And it is a lot of Warhammer focused elements, and I have absolutely no desire to go back to 40K. So it wasn't a fit for me to really go there. I came from outside. My old gaming club, Sheffield and Rotherham War Gamers, also known as the Gimps, they were visited by Andy Dickinson from Leeds, and they've been bitten hard. So I do have friends who play Battletech. It's just they're 100 plus miles away in Sheffield. And being new to round here, I'm kind of cultivating as almost a noob. And going to the store that stocks things seems to be a logical place to start to kind of get people together. And
it also doesn't hurt that, as both Andy and I have said in the past, you can teach Arthur Stroke in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reason for Alpha Strike at the club. The other reason being when you buy the models, you've got the cards. Whereas if you want any of the other units, you've got to go online. And for the younger ones, they can just take their cards out and use them, and with dry white markers, wipe them down afterwards. It's really easy. And so it has that using a chemistry term, a lower activation energy. sorry, scientist, guilty.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I have chemistry A level. I did natural sciences in my first year at uni. I do know what you're talking about.
Good. So we won't go on to enthalpy and entropy anytime soon.
No, I think not. but what we do need, are catalysts.
Yes, exactly.
In both senses of the dreadfully bad pun and the chemical term.
Yes. Yeah, that works really well, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It was completely off the top of my head right there and then. But I think we've hit, as you say, being just things like, you know, turning up at someone else's club, even as Andy did, and saying, "Let me run you a Battletech teaching game."
To be fair, at that club, though, going, here are some nice pretty miniatures. It is literally like trying to entice a lemming off a cliff. It's so easy.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how many people have beaten the path to rifts after we've run demo games at Battletech, at Beaver War Games Club, though.
Yeah.
Makes Trevor happy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
why I came along to yours, because I was at the Rift and wanted to join a board gamers club, a gaming club, so I did. It is trying to find what's there. The thing is, what I'm trying to encourage or find a way is, whilst we are nice, lovely gentlemen, we are also old farts.
And
it is a lot easier to tempt the old farts. What I think would be good and overall is to try and actually go, you know what? This is something to fall into. The person who was my age when I first fell into it, thought of
absolutely.
The teenagers in this case, actually, this is really easy. It is not going to sting your parents' wallets like the 800-pound gorilla in the room that goes, well, you know what? We're going to change the rule book in 2 years' time, and you've still got to spend an awful amount of cash on all the different source books.
Yeah, and I mean, Warhammer is, let's face it, a direct path from Dad's wallet to Games Workshop's coffers, isn't it?
Yeah. And the advantage of Battletech is you spend 20 quid and 25 quid and you get a box set, and that is a game. You know, there's enough resources that you don't have to pay for. You could, a little bit of printing of the basic rules, appropriate mech sheets, or even Alpha Strike cards that are available. And you can even get hex maps printable from Catalyst that are available for free from their previous things.
And as I point out, you can also do the clever one, which is you buy the Game of Armor Combat Box. The Alpha Strike Quick Start rules are a free download.
Yep.
And Bob's your uncle. And the cards are in the box.
To be fair, any of their boxes that you get are worth getting because you get the maps in them. Yep. So whether you get beginner, the Alpha Strike box doesn't give you a hex map, but your box.
But it does give you those very nice fold up cardboard buildings.
But the components for Alpha Strike in that box are just brilliant.
Yeah. Could not agree more.
And so yeah, both Clan Invasion, A Game of Armored Combat, or the Beginner's Box, and I'm assuming Mercenaries Box as well, give you a bunch of miniatures, you can download the rules, and you've got maps. Happy days, off you go.
Indeed. Couldn't agree more. So, you were mentioning, and I have it here in the events calendar, an upcoming event. Tell us more.
So, this coming Saturday, the 17th of August, at Stonehouse Community Centre, I'm running a Battletech Games Day. So, all three of my neoprene hex maps are going to be set up. I'm going to set up a 4x6 foot and a 3x3 foot Alpha Strike table, because you cannot play Classic on those kinds of tables, alas. And I'm going to have a table with some paper maps for teaching on. And basically, as I've not run an event at the community centre, they say, first event you don't have to pay for. So I've gone, brilliant. I can try and get any kind of interest from anyone who's within a sensible commute. So Birmingham, it's an hour down the road from Birmingham to get here. It's about an hour from Cardiff. It's about an hour from Bristol. So hopefully anyone who's prepared on a Saturday to go, I'll come along for 1 to 3 games of Battletech. That would be brilliant. My son will be there for most of the day. He can play Classic or Alpha Strike. I'll be there. There's other people I know who's planning to come along. So it'd be great to see all 5 tables filled. And if there's more than that, I do have some paper maps as well that can be used. But it would be good to just encourage people to come and play. I've got a bit of a guide as to scenarios using the Wolfnet Alpha Strike tournament rules to basically give a bit of theme to the Alpha Strike. And I've said 200-point games for Alpha Strike, 7,000 BV for Classic, and for the games need to be a minimum of 3 mechs because I want, it's a game of mechs, really.
Yeah.
I like mixed. I run elementals in almost every single game I'm playing as a clan player, and I'm not going to say no to combined arms, but if you are, I've got 1 mech, 10 tanks, and 15 stands of infantry. That's not going to fit with what I'm trying to do on Saturday, alas.
Alas.
Cool.
Have you looked at the Alpha Strike matched play rules?
Probably, but I can't picture it at the top of my head.
They're a very nice set that one of the NC Kestrel, Joshua Franklin, has out for beta at the moment.
Right.
They're intended to be used with the Commander Edition rulebook, and they're basically an attempt to allow people to do basically pick-up games without having to go to the full depth of the Wolfnet rules. Some quite nice little scenario ideas. It's about a 7 or 8 page Google Doc linked from the homepage of Tales from the Periphery.
Cool. Well,
you might want to look.
I will have a look. It was more picking up the scenario rules. I wasn't going to go to quite some of the you can have this, you can't have that of the Wolfnet stuff. But one of the things for Alpha Strike is going from Commander's Edition, I was going to encourage people to have lances or stars, so a command star or a battle lance or
yeah.
those kind of things, because I really do like that kind of formation building.
I love the formation rules. They're just a nice little addition to.
And you can do that easily in Alpha Strike. I'd love to be able to do it and say the 7,000 BV. Yes, you can do that for Classic. Most of the games with Classic, we do use those rules at home, and the people I play with, like, for example, Jim, that I mentioned earlier. But it's a lot trickier to do at 7,000 BV. Whereas 200 points, if you cannot do a formation, you're doing something really weird.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And there is no substitute for something like a Firelance with Sniper or...
to be fair, even just going and saying, it follows the rules for a Battle Lance, I'm just going to have X number of lucky, thank you very much.
I'll just take the luck, thank you. Yes,
exactly. And you get the boxes and you should be able to go, well, tell you what, I am just going to take the box that I've picked up, whether it's a clan direct fire, clan striker lance,
it's not like it's hard. There's a clue in the name on the box as to exactly. which lance special abilities you should be able to build.
Yeah, exactly. And you can pick the things from some and put them elsewhere. So I've built plenty of command stars and I don't have the command star box. Because, you know, you just follow the rules, and most of them are fairly simple to do.
Yeah, my fire lances tend to be the kind of thing that strikes terror into the hearts of men, being something like Archer, Catapult, Crusader, Trebuchet. How many LRMs would Sir like? I may even have thrown a longbow in there, just to be really unpleasant.
Yeah, I think it's the Recon Lance. It could be the Pursuit Lance. I can't remember which one, but the one where the ability is you can sidestep with a biped mech, and considering I normally run things that are swift, I've been loving... So around Easter time, I picked up the Clan Striker Star, and the Incubus is quite tasty, and it's like, oh, you can move 14 hexes, and you've got a big enough weapon to cause people problems. Giggle, giggle, guffaw.
Yes, or even whichever lance it is gives you Speed Demon.
Yes,
but, and you're going. You are choking, right? As the fire moth sort of disappears off into the distance.
But if you're doing Speed Demon, you're not doing anything else. Whereas if you're going in an approximately straight line, just getting that extra one or, and to be fair, that sidestep can give you one or two extra effective movement points. It is just brutal with the right max.
Yeah, conversely, Speed Demon allows you to go, well, I'd actually like something slightly heavier in this lance.
True.
And now I can get it to keep up with everything else.
that is also true.
Which is evil.
Yeah.
Ah, fabulous. So that is this coming Saturday, as
this
ever is.
This coming Saturday at Stonehouse Community Centre. It's got its own... We're about 5 to 7 minutes, dependent on how heavy your foot is from the M5 and also which direction you're coming from. And it's got its own parking. We're a 3-minute walk from Stonehouse train station, so getting to it should be easy.
Fabulous. I will make sure this episode gets up tomorrow at the latest, then.
I'll try not to waffle too much.
No, it's good. Were I not in the middle of having carpets laid, for reasons which should be obvious if you followed the history of this podcast...
I was there at... the weekend when you found out that your downstairs became a swimming pool.
Yes, well, I actually found out on the way home.
Ah.
Literally, my son phoned me halfway down the A1 and said, Dad, there's water coming in. I said, where's your mother? He said, on the phone to the water board. I said, that's a good start.
Then we must have met at UK Games Expo.
We must have briefly passed...
Because I knew about it fairly soon, and so I think we must have talked about it then.
We must, yeah. But yes, we are finally at the point where we're putting most of our carpets back in on Friday, and possibly running over. Well, Saturday is going to be moving furniture back into where things should be today, and I will probably
all
get divorced if I suggest. Oh, I just fancy a trip off to a BattleTech Games Day. My love, it'll be fine.
Yes, is it local?
Not so shit. Notice. not exactly. It's kind of, well, ish, maybe. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm going to swing that one. I have to go visit Dad that weekend anyway. So
no,
I will. I'm hoping you're going to plan more.
The hope is that there's games playing. You know, if there's one or two games playing for the whole day, and I can find out interest as well, probably sometime October, November time, around the half term mark, I'll speak to them and go, right, I'll hire it, pay for it. But what I'll do, like last time, is I'm going to put a poll up on Discord and Facebook and go, right, this is going to go ahead. Which day is best for people? And try to optimize it day-wise for that.
That sounds great. We look forward to that, I think. Right. Awesome. There we go. So my guest has been Tom Lovewell, to whom many thanks. Thank you.
No probs.
And hopefully we will get to talk again. As I said, I'd love to do something on campaigns, and we might possibly also consider a round table on the whole business of growing the hobby and getting people in from outside the rather, it's not as bad as it might be, but some bits of the BattleTech community can be a bit of an echo chamber.
Definitely, yeah. It is always difficult getting people in for the first time, but part of it is, and I'm going to steal something from a friend. She had a principle, which was the pandemic principle, as in the game, which once you get enough people, then it sort of explodes out and gets the neighbouring city. So if you kind of get one person interested and they really like it, then they'll tell their friends and it'll explode that way. So sometimes it's about getting one or two key new people and they will broaden it out elsewhere.
You're spot on. Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
No props. Take care.
Coming events and general news in the UK BattleTech community. You're just in time to catch the 50mm BattleTech Solaris 7 weekend at Factorum in Warminster. Which looks kind of fun. As Tom mentioned in our interview, there is also on the same day Cotswolds BattleTech Games Day in Stonehouse Community Centre on August the 17th, which is this very Saturday, if you're listening to this ahead of times. The Milton Keynes guys have another round of their Fourth Succession War Behind Enemy Lines drop-in campaign on Sunday, August the 18th. That will be at War Games Workshop in Milton Keynes. Stuart and Co. are running a Bad Moon Mercenary Mission session the following Saturday, August the 24th, at Bad Moon Cafe. There's another round of the War Games Workshop Behind Enemy Lines campaign on the Sunday, the 25th. And the Ponder's End folks are running a Wolfnet 350 Alpha Strike tournament on Saturday, October the 12th. £10 a player. That's one of the few 350 tournaments I've seen over this side of the Atlantic. So if you want to check the format out, it might be quite fun. That's it for events. For directory entries, we've just got the one that Tom mentioned in his interview, which is to say Cobalt Cave Hobbies and Games in Stroud, who play on Wednesday nights. As ever, you can find all of these in the events sidebar and the directory in talesfromtheperiphery.org.uk, which, obviously enough, is why you're here. So, that's it for this episode. My thanks to Tom as a very nice guest. And I guess all that remains is ever for me to say is have fun and roll good dice. Catch you on the next one. Tales from the Periphery is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. In short, give us some credit, don't make money out of it, and if you make an adaptation of it, you must share it under the same license. Have fun!